There's a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. Booker T. Washington. Welcome to Snail Nation, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Black Lives Matter, a little bit about Chicago. And what inspired this was, Chicago just had another deadly weekend, and Mother's Day weekend at that. They had, 27 shootings. They had 5 deaths. And I didn't see any declaration or anything from Black Lives Matter. Didn't see, I didn't see anything on their website, anything promoting unity, personal responsibility, self-respect, and giving back to the community, anything like that. So, which leads me to the same conclusion I had all throughout 2020 is, the bottom line is, black lives don't matter to them. It really doesn't, unless it can be politicized to move a particular agenda. And I am certain I am not the only one that has noticed this this trend. And it's not just them. They're an easy target because they're right out in front. Even though they like to do this of they'll jump up, collect some money, and then just kind of fade into the background a little bit. But we also have our race hustlers like the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons, we also have individuals within our Congress like the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's and the all these individuals that they put on a good show. And people seem to eat it up for the most part and genuinely believe that these 80-year-old multimillionaires who clearly have an agenda don't have an agenda. It's pretty fascinating. But now with Chicago, they've been on this upward trajectory, I would say, for the past 5 years. Where they just keep trying to outdo themselves in the murder department. And, a lot of these stats and things we're going to throw out there, because I want to mention a few things about New York as well. But with Chicago, this information is coming from the Chicago Tribune. There's also a website called intellectualtakeout.org and also from Chicago Sun-Times, just in case someone's curious. Or if they want to do a fact check extravaganza, I'm not just making these things up here. So now for 2020, this is Chicago, 774 murders, which was a 50% increase on 2019. And they're currently on track. I think they're at 131 murders currently, which puts them ahead. I think they had a 30% increase from 2020. So they're on track, and it's unfortunate. I hate to say this, but they're on track to surpass that 774 from 2020. Now, and their murder clearance rate is 45.6. It was 45.6 in 2020. And their average is right between there, between 40% and 50%. In the eyes of some might see that as good. I see that as pretty terrible, because that tells me that there's 55% of murders that are unsolved, for that year, which means that those individuals, those perpetrators are roaming free, so... Yes, that is pretty terrible. So, do we want to defund the police? Probably not, if we want to actually have these murders solved. That's another one of those factors that should make people question the motives of these organizations that call for such things, for such nonsense. And of course, the people in these organizations like Black Lives Matter, they don't really pay any attention to the community organizers and the people that actually work in those particular wards, the ones that actually receive those distressing calls for help, those pleas for assistance in their drug-infested, crime-infested communities. As someone, as a child who grew up in a drug-infested, crime-infested community and could see those community organizers and different people calling for more police and were happy to get them, and I have to raise my hand and say, yes, when I was a teenager, I was happy to see a police car driving by. No matter what time of day it was, I did not feel threatened. I felt protected. But for those calling for that defund the police, you know, it's clearly just a an obvious ploy or agenda, you know, and it still catches me off guard that so many people will just nod their head in agreement. That's a good idea. And of course, these individuals are usually ones that don't live in these communities. But when you actually look, and you don't have to look far, and you look at these interviews, you know, with these parents that have children in these communities, they want more. They want more protection. Why? I don't know. Because they need it. And that's typically how it works. You know, the police go where they're needed most, or where the people call for it. You know, so now with this this escalating, you know, number as far as murders, as far as homicides go, when you look at the breakdown, now this is an average, of course. So 75% of the victims are usually Black. Well, Chicago here. That's 75% of the victims are usually Black. 71% of the perpetrators, the murderers, are Black. So, okay, we like to throw out that word disproportionate. Disproportionately impacting this. Disproportionately impacting minorities. Yada, yada, yada. Well, here we go, where we've got actual data that screams that someone should really dig into this data and actually, I don't know, maybe take action based on the information that's here. You know, if we know that a particular group are the ones being victimized, or a particular group are the ones that are victimizing people, then it makes sense why the incarceration rates or the arrest rates, you know, or pullover rates for Chicago are so high for minorities, particularly Black Americans. Well, I mean, look at the information. If someone like me, who has no police experience or anything, can go to a CPD website or, you know, the Chicago Tribune or Chicago Sun-Times or wherever, and see this information and see a bit of a connection here, when you look at multiple sources and the data is very close, sometimes exactly the same, that tells me that that's the core problem, or that's where the focus should be. But for whatever reason, you know, you have these, and that's rhetorical. I know why, and a lot of us do, why these race hustlers, they avoid this thing, why so many politicians avoid this stuff, why organizations like Black Lives Matter avoid, you know, these actual data, actionable information that's right there coming straight from the police or coming straight from a federal agency. Well, because it would completely shoot a hole or multiple holes in their narrative, and it would affect their cash cow, their profitability, you know, in the race industry, because that's the hardcore money right there. There's a lot of dough there. And if you don't know, just look back to 2020 and all those donations, hundreds of millions of dollars being funneled into Black Lives Matter. And then now you have all these scandals coming out with all these different organizers and leaders that are, you know, buying up, you know, million-dollar properties and homes and all that stuff. And, of course, they're buying these properties in predominantly, you know, white areas in different states. And some of them are, you know, they're buying cocaine and hookers and strippers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm not seeing a whole lot of stories about them, like, I don't know, like saving a school or something, or paying for school lunches for students, providing them with school supplies and backpacks, and, you know, or funding scholarships and that sort of thing. You know, when you look through their website, you'll find some items in there, but when you really look at it, it's tied to some sort of agenda. Like, they have to gain something. You have to be starting like a new chapter in another city, or you have to be maybe working with a Democrat candidate or something like that. Something along those lines. But there seems to always be some sort of like string attached to any of the quote unquote good that they do or that they have done, which honestly isn't much. So, Chicago, you know, 3,261 shootings in 2020, and they're on track to just blow that out of the water. Any protests, you know, Black Lives Matter, anyone going through those neighborhoods and pleading with, you know, this large number, this large percentage of black criminals to maybe stop killing their fellow man, you know, maybe not doing drugs, maybe not selling drugs, maybe taking a break from crime, even just for a week, you know, or a month, you know. No, there's none of that. They're not investing any real money or any time or influence, because that's not a part of their agenda. They're not concerned with that. Now, looking at New York City, this information comes from NewYorkCity.gov and NewYorkMag.com, and they're another city that their murder rate is exploding. So in 2020, 462 murders, 45% increase. Their clearance rate is about 54%, which I think is still abysmal. But, well, New York City, hey, let's defund the police. Let's divert, you know, their funding towards this or towards that. You know, let's hire some social workers, because nothing stops an armed criminal that's, you know, psychotic or raging on methamphetamines like a social worker who's unarmed, you know, because that makes sense. So they had 1,800 shootings in 2020, which was up. Now, on average, you know, 96% of their shooting victims and those perpetrators are either black or Hispanic. Big percentage. But of course, if somebody focuses on that, especially if they're a white conservative, you know, clearly they're racist. You know, how dare they? You know, these are numbers. And, you know, as we all know, math is racist as well. So, you know, that doesn't matter. And history is racist, and data is racist. And, you know, so we can't look into any of that stuff. You know, we just have to trust these organizations that clearly have an agenda and are trying to make boatloads of cash. And it clearly it's about, you know, money, power, and influence. You know, but hey, what do I know? So, Black Lives Matter. When you go back and you look, you know, if you go to their website and you look at their About section, it says a whole lot of nothing, really. When you go to their demands, they've got pretty hilarious stuff. 7 demands here. And let's see if any of these demands symbolize or reflect or maybe insinuate some need to actually uplift the black community, maybe put money back into the black community and focus on helping, you know, deal with father absence and drug abuse and all that kind of stuff. Maybe teen birth rates or something. I don't know, anything. Let's see. So their number one demand: convict and ban Trump from future political office, because, you know, clearly, that'll help the black community, even though blacks had more gains under his one term in office under his administration than any time during the 2 terms under Obama, who was touted as the, you know, the black messiah and all that good stuff. But, you know, whatever, that doesn't matter. Okay, so demand 2, expel Republican members of Congress who attempted to overturn the election and incite a white supremacist attack. Okay, they seem to really be fixated on politics here. I'm not seeing a whole lot of uplift the community or anything like that. I'm just seeing a whole lot of politics. But right, Yes, even though there were blacks and Hispanics and Asians and others that were protesting on January the 6th. Yes, there were some racists there because, well, there's racists in all races that since forever. You always have there's a percentage of every race that just aren't too bright and are misguided and can be easily manipulated, you know. So I'm sorry, but, you know, the racist gene isn't monopolized by whites. So I've met quite a few blacks that were pretty racist, and it was very concerning. So, okay, so that's demand number two. Number three, launch a full investigation into the ties between white supremacy and the Capitol Police, law enforcement, and the military. And within the details here, they refer back to the coup that took place on January the 6th, which was, if it was, that's what it was. It was the most pathetic coup or the most pathetic attempt to take over anything in the history of anyone trying to take over anything. But okay, still, I'm not seeing how that uplifts the black community, how that deals with high black incarceration rates or low graduation rates in high school and middle school. I'm not seeing that, but hey, there's still a few more left. They've got a chance here. Just stick with it. Hold on here. Let's see. Permanently ban Trump from all digital media platforms. That's their number four. Boy, the Trump is just living rent free inside their heads. Like a lot of liberals that I've talked to, and some on the right as well. This fixation, I don't see, maybe I'm missing it. Maybe someone can let me know I'm missing the connection between banning Trump from re-election, banning Trump from media platforms, banning this, banning Republicans from Congress. I'm not seeing the connection, but hey, maybe I'm missing it. Number five, defund the police. Yeah, that used to be in their top three, but they pushed it back now. Now, a majority of their top three are centered around Trump and Republicans in Congress, because apparently that's the greatest threat to the black community. So defund the police, and we've already talked plenty about that, so no need to retread. It's more nonsense. Number six, don't let the coup be used as an excuse to crack down on our movement. Okay, whatever that means. Well, for this one, I would have to say that there's plenty of good reasons, not excuses, to crack down on this so-called movement, which, you know, considering that the leadership structure, they're trained Marxists, which they've admitted, they're also incredibly corrupt, which we've seen with the purchases of commercial property and real estate property and all that stuff. And, you know, they can't really explain where the money came from. They can't really provide any details to the people that donated so much money to Black Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter, Inc., because they like to play that game. Well, technically, there's an umbrella company that actually deals with this and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's the classic shell game. And they're going to use racism to avoid being audited at any point. There was discussion last year about that, about them needing to be audited. And then someone turned that into like, oh, you know, that's, you know, those racists trying to make us account for for money and yada, 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 you know. And hey, so that's number six. Number seven, the last one, pass the Breath Act. So the Breath Act, let me see here. They say it's touched on in his executive actions. It says calling for racial equity screens in federal programs, investing in environmental justice at historic levels, and engaging with system-impacted communities. So that's going back to the whole systemic racism, systemic oppression, systemic slavery, impacts of slavery, systemic impacts of slavery, institutional slavery, systemic impacts. It's all a bunch of empty fluff, but it looks good on paper, and it sounds scary. It sounds important. You know, what? I mean, it says the Breath Act paints a vision of a world where black lives matter through investments in housing, education, health, and environmental justice. Just because you put justice on the end of something, whether it be racial justice, social justice, environmental justice, when I see that, it always makes my ears perk up, and it makes me want to ask questions and dig a little bit, because a lot of times, just because someone says the word justice doesn't mean that that's what they mean. A lot of times, it just they want to cloak everything in beautiful words like justice and unity, but that's not what they want. They want money, power, influence, and we've seen plenty of examples of that at all levels. So yeah, so those are their seven demands. Now, can someone tell me, is there any one of these demands that involve uplifting the Black community? Any of that, dealing with any actual issues within not just the Black community, but just minority communities in general? Because I'm not seeing this. I see a whole lot of, you know, hey, let's attack Republicans, let's attack conservative values, let's attack, you know, Trump, let's attack the police, let's attack, you know, and they got to cloak it, right? They got to cloak it under racial justice, and, you know, we got to fight white supremacy, even though, you know, a lot of your ideology seems to be Black supremacy, which, according to Martin Luther King, is just as dangerous and just as deadly as white supremacy because, well, racism is evil. It's absolute evil. It's grotesque. And it doesn't matter, you know, the color of the perpetrator. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. It's just evil, and it needs to be treated that way. You know, there's no excuses. Even though we saw plenty of those excuses throughout 2020 and in 2021, where you had, you know, a lot of Black criminals just, you know, getting away with, you know, so much nonsense that you would have to label that Black privilege, when you can just break rule after rule after rule, law after law, hurt people, murder people, even murder Black people, and still someone steps forward to make an excuse and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, you know, Mr. Black man, you dealt with, you know, your ancestors dealt with slavery, you know, all those years ago. And that's what it is. It's slavery that made you, you know, not pick up any trades and trade schools. It made you not want to go to college. It made you not want to get any certifications and take advantage of any of the job opportunities that are right in your own community. It made you not have any desire to want to start a business or look after your family or have, you know, a bunch of kids that you're not taking care of, you know. And when I say this, that's impacting not just Blacks, but other communities. But I'm just saying that, you know, excuses, 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 anything but pointing the finger directly at the individual, or anything but, you know, looking in the mirror and taking responsibility. You know, of course these special interests don't want that. Of course the politicians and all those individuals connected to the race industry, Black Lives Matter, all the race hustlers, they don't want that, because that would actually fix the problem. And what happens when the problem's fixed? Well, they serve no purpose. They cease to exist. They have no cash cow. They have no steady revenue stream. They have nothing. They can't fund their politics. They can't fund their candidates and things and people they want to put in place to help give them more power and influence. You know, they can't get all their corporate sponsors and do all the virtue signaling and all that kind of stuff, because no one will care, because the problem will no longer exist. They're the ones making sure this exists and continues to grow. And that race obsession, because that's what it is, race obsession stays center stage forever. And it's on us free-thinking individuals that have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a brain that works, to identify these things and to step back. And when someone says, hey, donate to this cause, to really say, hey, well, let me research that. Ooh, trained Marxist. Yeah, no, thank you. You know, stop, you know, blindly just jumping into things. You know, I know we've been on this path of sheep conditioning over the, you know, past 60, 70 years, but my goodness, you know, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, hey, you know what? Let's table that. Let's put a pin in it. I'm going to do some research. I'll get back with you. I can't give you an answer on that right now. Let me dig into this. You know, hey, oh, you want my money? Oh, well, let me think about that. Let me do some research. you know, oh, Congress is pushing some bill through at lightning speed with some nice sounding name like the Patriot Act or the Liberty Act. You know, well, let me do some research first and let me write my congressman or congresswoman. Let me research and make up my own mind instead of having someone just dictate to me what I'm supposed to think, how I'm supposed to feel, where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to buy, how I'm supposed to live my life, how I'm supposed to interact with my friends and family, where I go, where I work, all that stuff. Just do your own research, make up your own mind, you know, and stand firm on your principles. Be a slave to your principles, not to men. Okay? So, those are just some of my thoughts. Please feel free to provide any feedback, constructive criticism. It's all welcome. You can leave me a digital message on Anchor, on the Anchor app. You can also leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Greatly appreciated. Also post this on LinkedIn as well if you want to take a look on there. And just share some of your thoughts. I'd love to get some feedback on just, you know, are other people seeing this? I know some people are, but I'm quite curious what some of your thoughts are. So with that, I have to get going. Snell Nation out.